The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Bob, you're looking sharp there. Blue shirt, yeah, and that great tie. I really appreciate the fact Bob dresses up. Even though it's radio, he dresses up for the Buckmaster Show. We welcome you to the program. It is Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2018. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com, and of course, KVOI.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. If there are any comments or questions you have during the hour, please feel free to give us a call. Randy Seraglio is with us. Randy is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Tucson, Arizona-based Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
I've been kind of waiting to bring you in till the dust finally settled. We were waiting for the Army Corps of Engineers for their decision. We now have that. The Corps signed the final permit needed to clear the way for the construction of the proposed Rosemont Copper Mine east of Green Valley and Sahuarita. This mine, Randy, as you know, has been talked about since, 2007?
Roughly,
2007. Yeah. So what does all of this mean right now as far as kind of how groups like your center and others are going to coalesce to come together in the legal effort?
Yeah. In one sense, the regulatory dust has settled, but now we're going to see a big legal dust cloud out of this because it's not clear at all why the Corps approved this permit. As you probably know, they issued a formal recommendation of denial back in July of 2016, and nothing's really changed since then except one thing. We have a different person in the White House, and we have a different person running some of these agencies in Washington, D.C., and, you know, all of the science and the law and the evidence pointed towards a denial of this permit. It's not right for Tucson. It's a huge threat to our water supply. It's going to destroy the northern end of the Santa Rita Mountains. It's really bad for jaguars and ocelots and all the other beautiful wildlife we have out there. And yet the Corps, for whatever reason, has reversed position and decided to issue this permit. And, you know, there's a number of groups that are coming together to challenge this in court. We think it's not going to stand up under the law, and we're going to turn it down.
What were the issues that were the most glaring to you that on the reversal and from the Corps, and how did they justify that?
Well, honestly,
have to justify it?
Yeah, here's one of the problems. The Corps has not released the document, the formal recommendation of denial that was an internal document back in July of 16. And despite, the Arizona Daily Star and conservation groups like ours wanting to get access to that, they have refused to release it.
How can they do that? Are you going to have to put through then a request for...
Oh, yeah. We've used the Freedom of Information Act, and we'll sue them on that, too, if we have to. I mean, this is information that's extremely important to the public to understand, you know, how this decision was made. And this is another consistent pattern that we've seen from the Trump administration is this absolute stonewalling of public information. This is the most secretive administration in modern U.S. history. They don't want you to see the workings behind the curtain. And one of the reasons for that is clearly there's a lot of corruption going on in this administration. You have to go back to at least Richard Nixon to find this level of corruption in our government.
Was the document available that came out years previous, the previous Corps document? Was it available right away?
No, see, that's the thing. The district engineer's office in Los Angeles, they examined all the science. They looked at this for 5 years. There were multiple iterations of a mitigation plan. And the Corps finally decided that this project cannot be adequately mitigated and that it's a huge threat, that it will violate water quality standards. And it's a huge threat to Tucson's water supply, which is, of course, exactly what we've been saying all along, and many other Tucsonans that are very concerned about this threat to our water security. And
so you're saying it's a threat to the water security of over a million people in the Tucson Basin.
Yeah, that, Cienega Creek and Davidson Canyon brings that water down out of the Santa Rita Mountains and recharges our aquifer right here in the Tucson Basin. And that's up to 20% of our natural groundwater recharge every year. We're in a situation now where we're looking at shortages on the Colorado River within a couple of years. We can no longer put our eggs in that basket and be sure that they're going to be there 10 years from now. So that groundwater underneath our feet is more precious now than it has ever been in our history.
Will that be the centerpiece of the appeal, the water issue?
Well, we've got a long list of issues, Bill.
There's the wildlife issue. Right?
There's a lot of issues. Yeah. And you know, the Clean Water Act, this Section 404 permit, it has a public interest clause, too. And the Corps, you know, already decided internally that it's not in the public interest to allow this project to proceed. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump gets elected and they do an absolute flip-flop. And really, essentially nothing else has changed since then. The EPA has weighed in many times against this project. And even after the most recent mitigation plan, they have said it is not adequate. There's no way to mitigate this disaster.
We're speaking with Randy Seraglio, Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. What other environmental groups are joining in the legal action, Randy?
Well, the Save the Scenic Santa Rita's Coalition has been leading this fight for many years. They successfully fought off ASARCO 20 years ago when they wanted to mine Rosemont. And, they're at the heart of this fight as well. The tribes are very concerned about this. The Tohono-O'odham, the Pascua-Yaqui, and the Hopi tribe have all joined together in a lawsuit against this project. And our organization, the Center for Biological Diversity, the CIRC Club, the Arizona Mining Reform Coalition, there's a whole bunch of groups that are really fighting hard to stop this from going forward for all kinds of reasons.
How do you decide on what court? Do you not have a choice to litigate this?
That's up to the judge.
What court then up to the where? What is the first step in the legal process?
Well, there have already been a number of lawsuits filed by the tribes and by the conservation groups, and those are consolidated into one action now under Judge Soto, federal judge here in Arizona. And this case, it's really up to the judges. Whoever gets assigned this case will decide what to do with it, but the other case is pretty far along, so it's not clear what's going to happen with this challenge to the Corps. But again, you know, wherever this lands, we think that the law and the science are clear, that there is no way that this project can be mitigated. There's no way the damage can be undone. It's going to be permanent, and it's a huge threat to our well-being here in Tucson.
The Center for Biological Diversity has been around for a while. You've had a lot of experience in this area. Are there any other cases that might be similar to this one?
Well, you know, there's a long history of these big, dirty, destructive mining projects that have, you know, attempted to be sited in bad places that have a lot of bad impacts. And, you know, there's other mines that have gone in where they haven't been challenged. But the thing with Rosemont is it's absolutely in the wrong place. There's no question about it. You couldn't pick a worse place to put a massive open-pit copper mine. But there have been other cases where, you know, the company's been asked to do things that they don't want to do in terms of protecting the water supply, protecting the groundwater and the surface flows and the wildlife in the area, and other projects have fallen apart. And sometimes that's the case. The only way this is profitable is if we carry the risks and the penalties on our backs, you know, if the taxpayers pay for the cleanup, and if we have to pay to fix the roads when they get trashed by the giant trucks, and we have to find a new water supply, and, you know, our public health gets damaged by the air pollution and the water pollution, and then we have to pay those costs as citizens here living in Tucson. And, you know, mining companies are really good at forcing those costs onto the backs of people, you know, who live in these communities in exchange for a few hundred jobs. And to me, that's a bad deal.
All right. Well, we'll see how this all plays out. What's your thinking on timetable on this thing?
Well, you know, we'll be filing suit just as soon as we're ready against the Corps.
You have a pretty good legal team?
We have the best, Bill. You can bet on that.
Okay. So the preparation's going on as we speak, I assume.
Yes. And as I said, the other suits are already in play, and that case has moved forward through all the briefing and everything, and it's sitting on the judge's desk. And you know, the legal gears grind slowly. It's up to the judge how quick these things move.
I just had a thought. Does it matter at all that the company that you are opposing here, the Toronto, Ontario, Canadian company, Hud Bay, mm-hmm. is not a United States company? What does that have to do with standing in the legal system?
Well, from our perspective, it doesn't matter who's going to trash El Jefe's home, you know. It doesn't matter who's going to wipe out thousands of acres of public land that belongs to all Americans, you know, and the wildlife that live there. You know, we're going to fight it. But to a lot of people in Tucson, that's a huge issue because, again, you know, the profits are going to be exported. They're not going to stay here in our community. We're going to be stuck with the dirty water, the dirty air, and you know, the draining of our aquifer.
All right, Randy Seraglio. Thank you, Randy. We'll talk to you again. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, based here in Tucson. I've got good news about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. It looks like we will have our hot breakfast available up at Mona's probably around, well, within 2 weeks. It's talking about permits. They've got to go through getting all the permits and everything. They're in that process. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Chief baker and owner Steve expanding their operation now with the hot breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. I mean, if you go by right now, oh my goodness, the bread that those sandwiches it's beautiful. Came out of the oven a couple of hours ago. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com, or a link on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's 12:16. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, is coming up next with his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'm going to make a recommendation right now that you listen to Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Shelley, how are you?
I am well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Very good. Did you do your workout today?
I did.
Oh, there you go. Boy, this guy's been pumping iron now.
Yeah, really. I'm just
Yeah, there he goes. He's looking like, looking good. I think the other, a couple of weeks ago, we said, you're looking like George Atlas. And I shouldn't have said that because it really dates like, oh, George Atlas. There was a cartoon about him in the 50s, early 60s.
I heard a great line earlier this morning. Somebody was talking about something being the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
But understanding that if in 20 years or so with global warming, nobody will even recognize the reference anymore.
No, they won't. Because they won't know where the tip went, right?
They won't know what an iceberg is.
There you go. Shelley, did you happen to read in the New York Times the David Leonhardt piece?
I did.
Over the weekend. I think it was titled, Capitalism Needs Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, there's
now,
two
he's
titles,
not advocating.
Actually. That was the print. That was the yeah. print title, and then the electronic title yeah. was Elizabeth Warren actually wants to fix capitalism.
Yeah, it's not. It kind of is deceiving that like he's endorsing,
and he's not.
He's not endorsing.
Right. He's not endorsing Elizabeth Warren, but what he is endorsing is the conversation that needs to occur in this country around the issues that Elizabeth Warren is talking about. And these are, no surprise here, these are the same issues you and I have been talking about that affect investors, affect the economy, and the things that get in the way of economic success over time. What Leonhardt, and this is a really smart guy, and he was the bureau chief, the Washington bureau chief for the New York Times for years, and then decided he'd had enough of that, wanted to go home. And so went back to New York, and now he's an opinion writer for the Times. But what he's saying is, look, take a look at the past two Democratic administrations. You take a look at the Clinton administration, which was very successful economically. You take a look at the Obama administration, which also really, in many ways, saved the world from the Great Recession, from it turning into a depression. And we had steady, slow, steady growth in the economy during that 8 years. But the problem with both of those administrations is they didn't do anything to fundamentally change the American economy such that the problems that were becoming endemic in that economy were going to be fixed or on the way to being fixed. And the biggest one of those problems, fundamental problems, is wealth disparity, is the fact that most of the growth that we see in this economy is going to those people who need it the least. And as a result, we get in, you know, this huge middle class that whose standard of living is maintained through slow inflation and higher efficiencies in the marketplace. But if you take a look at their real income over the past 30 or 40 years, it's essentially remained stagnant. And that causes disaffection and, you know, a generation today that may be the first generation that doesn't have a good hope of doing better than their parents. And that leads to, for instance, the kind of nationalist sentiments that cause resentment and cause, well, frankly, the election of somebody like Trump to the presidency. And not just in the United States, by the way. We see it in Brazil. We see it in Germany and France and certainly in Hungary and Poland. So there is this disaffection. And what Elizabeth Warren is talking about is some bold measures in her mind that get to the root causes of the problem and begin to fix the root causes of the problem, not just patch it so that we move on. And that's what Leonhardt thinks is so useful, that we need to have that discussion as a country as we move into this election cycle and really raise those issues. I mean, it's easy to call names and call somebody a socialist or call somebody, you know, a fascist or whatever, but really taking the substance of the issues and finding ways that you can build consensus around two things. Number one, agreeing that there's a problem. And number two, that the ways of fixing that problem might create some discomfort for some people, but it gets to the fix. And by the way, what Leonhardt points out is that this is nothing unusual in you know, free market economies. We have had this rise and fall and rise and fall of wealth concentration over the past 150 years. You know, you go back to the early 1900s when Teddy Roosevelt was essentially, you know, trust busting in order to break up the monopolies because essentially the workers weren't getting anything and the rich were getting richer and richer and it was causing political problems in the country as well. So, you know, that was at the beginning of the 20th century. The Great Depression happened and you know, Teddy's cousin Franklin led an effort to create more transparency, especially in the financial services industry. You know, as a financial services professional, I'm, you know, licensed, and part of that licensing is a real understanding of the laws that go back to the Great Depression, the Paper Act, and et cetera, that created the regulatory agencies that we have today that make the stock market and investing much safer and much more widely available than it was in the first quarter of the 20th century. When you take a look at what the Justice Department did in 1911, 1914, in breaking up some of these big trusts, namely the oil industry and Standard Oil got broken up into five or six companies, breaking up AT&T, because those companies were viewed as absolutely essential to moving the economy ahead. The Industrial Revolution became more and more dependent upon oil rather than coal, and communications became essential to making the country, which had then, you know, spread out from coast to coast, to making it coherent. So those two industries became so concentrated that they needed to be broken up. The parallel today is taking a look at the social media and internet-based companies and seeing how power in those companies is so concentrated that it is very difficult to create a set of regulations even.
Yeah, today's New York Times editorializing about how difficult it would be
absolutely
to break up the Facebook and all the Google and all of them.
Well, actually, what Warren is
big
saying
tech,
is breaking them up is easier than regulating them.
Okay.
Because if you can break apart the pieces that dependent upon advertising, that are dependent upon social media, et cetera. Keep those pieces separate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can identify which of those pieces to regulate and which of those pieces to leave alone. And so it may not be the right answer, Bill, but it's the right question to ask because we are now at a point, an inflection point in our economy, where those industries are as important to our economy today as, say, the oil industry or the telecoms industry was 40 or 50 years ago. And what Warren is also talking about is finding ways through taxation to address the disparity of wealth directly. I don't agree with her solutions there, but again, she's talking about it. She's raising the issue. And very important, education and regulation. When I grew up, and this was at a time when growth was 6, 7, 8% after the war, when I grew up, public education was free. In the city colleges, in the what became the community colleges, and we had to train an entire generation of people coming out of the Depression and coming out of the war, and we did it. And we did it in a way that didn't create loads of debt for those people who came out of those colleges. So that's something that needs to be addressed. And of course, some idea of how to do regulation in a broader sense, both of the financial industry and other industries, to protect the ecology, to protect the environment, to deal with global warming and that kind of thing. So what Warren is talking about is a whole set of basic discussions about problems that are not only affecting the economy, but are affecting our lives on a daily basis. I don't know that her solutions are necessarily the right ones, but I do know that we can't ignore these problems. We've got to talk about them.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Many people remember Zocalo, all that great merchandise from all over Mexico and Europe. Well, for years they were over at Country Club and Broadway area. They're now part of the Green Things family over on the 13-acre site at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. In fact, there's a whole Zocalo village. There are five buildings full of this wonderful, extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture. So it gives you an additional incentive to go buy Green Things to get all your amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and all sorts of gardening supplies. So open daily, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com. Now to talk about one of my favorite topics, animal welfare issues. And the news has been so good in this community in the last couple of years. Things really turning around at the Pima Animal Care Center. The local organization, Friends of PAC, Pima Animal Care Center, have really stepped up to the plate and have raised $5 million. That is so cool. Jennifer Camano with us. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I love Green Things in Zocalo, too.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you used to be work, I think, at the Red Cross over there by Country Club and Broadway.
So I used to wander.
You remember the Zocalo.
Beautiful stuff.
Well, a lot of the people that are associated, the buying team and stuff, still with the Zocalo people over at Green Things.
So
they've got great merchandise. Anyway, Jennifer is the executive director for Friends of PAC. It's a good news story. The goal was reached. I think it took a while, but, you know, in all things considered, what, less than 2 years?
It really was. It was less than 2 years.
That's
a lot
of money to raise.
We raised money alongside PAC. And I do stress that because some of the wonderful grants we've received from Petco and PetSmart and a lot of the larger corporations who are very invested in this stuff, Maddie's Fund, they gave grants directly to PAC. So together with PAC, we brought in $5 million. And a lot of the individual private donations came to us at Friends. So we're incredibly grateful. And mostly I've just been saying thank you. Thank you to this community for wanting to do better. Thank you for the leadership at the county to make sure that this happened and this nonprofit was able to start up. And, you know, we don't cover the things like the rabies abatement and the spay neuter and the cruelty sorts of cases that's our county mandate. Yeah. But what we get to do is all of the really fun extra stuff.
You've got a whole slew of initiatives that I want you to tell some of. Tell us about some of the things you've got going on where some of this money will go to.
So one of the funds we did establish was Lovely's Fund for Neglected and Abused Pets. So unfortunately, that is a need in our community. And the kinds of medical services some of these pets need are pretty extreme. And so we raise money for that. But we also have focus groups. This is kind of where I've been focused lately. Our focus groups are really that toughest percentage of the population, the old cats who might have mouths that require extensive surgery to remove teeth, the dogs who are also old and have medical issues and maybe several medical issues. And so it really is a matter of resources that's preventing them from getting adopted. we definitely have enough people in this community who are willing to take on special needs, if adoptions for dogs or cats, if they have medicines or maybe mobility limitations, or this is a very generous community. So I'm always impressed with, wow, someone's willing to take that dog.
I mean, people are willing to step up here.
They
this
really
is such
are.
An animal friendly community. I'm always amazed. We have so many groups that believe in what we're doing here to try to help animals. And just the new Pima Animal Care Center is just such a beautiful facility, a state-of-the-art facility. And what's going on with Friends, you're really there to kind of supplement and to be
That's
an
exactly
adjunct
right.
to really
That's
help
exactly
with the
right.
daily mission, right?
So, you have life-saving that can help so many pets, but then it becomes an issue of,
yes.
wow, this one needs special surgery or
right.
a special cart for it to walk. And so that's where we can come in and help.
And we're saving,
those.
What, about 90% of the
We
animals.
Are. We're a little over 90% right now.
And I was reflecting, as you were talking about animals with, say, older animals that have special needs. In the old days, even a few years ago, those animals would just be put down.
They really would.
Yeah.
And that happens in many parts of this country. And mm-hmm. so for us, raising this kind of money for 2 years of programming, well, Arizona Gifts Day is coming up. We're still raising money because we still have these needs. And wouldn't it be lovely to one day not have the need for a county animal shelter? But I don't see that happening. I think there's always going to be a need for us. And we're trying to help people keep their pets in their homes. That's one of the other wonderful programs we have. It's a Keeping Families Together or a Pet Support Network. And we have resources for those who just need a little help getting a surgery, or maybe they need to board their animal for a week or two while they have surgery themselves. So we mm-hmm. have funds that divert intake to the shelter and help keep the families together.
Kristen Auerbach has done just such a beautiful job with some very creative ideas and programs, like not ready to adopt a dog, or, well, how about borrowing one for a day? I mean, stuff like that has really helped.
It is. And people do it. People will drop in and they'll say, hey, I have the day off. I'm going to just take this dog up to Mount Lemon.
Yeah,
and
dude.
On the way back, we're going to take a little Snapchat
what
video
a fun day
of
for
an ice cream cone.
To go.
I know.
You know,
it does
to get
help
out
them
of the
too.
Shelter and then get out and get some fresh air. I mean, so these are the initiatives that folks can. And the veterinary care is a very big one. And I know that there's been work to try to recruit a new vet, and there is a shortage.
There's a national shortage of vets,
yeah.
That is true. And there are other places in town experiencing
right.
this for shelter
right.
vets and emergency vets. But we do, I believe we have one coming on shortly.
Good.
I'm really excited about that, and hopefully this summer, another one. So Friends of PAC has helped to supplement additional care with both vet techs and a veterinarian.
Where can people find out more about if they'd like to help out? And every donation would be very much appreciated with Friends of PAC.
It really is. Thank you for saying that. We're at friendsofpac.org. That's Friends of PACC, two C's, .org. And we're all over Facebook. We're even on Instagram and Twitter because I have a rockin' marketing person who's got us in all the right places. And the conversation, we put out videos. We have conversations around different topics. We're very accessible.
And
or
you have
could
a volunteer
call us.
Board, right, that
we
serves,
absolutely
right?
do. And we're up to 9 people on that board. And
wonderful.
I'm looking to start an advisory council.
Very cool.
For people as busy as you who
Whoa.
Can't come every month.
There you go. Well, we'll have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Camano with us, Executive Director for Friends of PAC. April 2nd, I believe, is Arizona Gives Day.
Yay.
How does that work? Could someone designate Friends of PAC?
Sure, they and can. They can go to our website. They can go to the Arizona Gives Day website, and they can choose from a variety of organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I did that 1 year. I went on, and I was like, oh, radio and, music. And I
right.
thought of just the different things that I wanted to give to. And they give out prizes. You can follow us. We're going to have some incentive packages and really fun contests that day, April 2nd. And you can even schedule your donation ahead of time if you don't want to have to worry about it on that day. Sort of like mail-in votes.
Just one final quick question. How has the environment changed at the new facility?
I've found that the public comes in just to look around and hang out a little
right.
bit more, right?
Right.
It wasn't the most inviting place before. It wasn't really built for the public to come and hang out, but now we have a store.
And cats and
we
have little
cats
little
have patios,
and
you can take
beds,
a dog for a little walk. It's adorable.
It's very wonderful the way the cats now have an area where they can snuggle up.
They can. They have a bunch of different cat trees, and they have places they can go and hide on, you know,
it's
from
great.
The public.
Jennifer, it's wonderful to see you again. Jennifer Camano from Friends of PACC, Friends of PAC. And again, if you want to do find out more about them, it's friendsofpacc.org.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:45, almost exactly on the Buckmaster Show. We'll find out what's going on at Biosphere 2 right after this on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Support for Buckmaster comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The following segment is made possible by UA Biosphere 2, where science lives. Find out more about Biosphere 2 at biosphere2.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Laura Meredith, director of Biosphere 2's Tropical Rainforest. She's also assistant professor at the University of Arizona School of Natural Resources and the Environment. Laura, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on the program. Give our listeners a little idea about what the tropical rainforest at Biosphere 2 is like.
Yeah, so we at Biosphere 2 have a tropical rainforest biome at our disposal to do really fantastic science. And this is now nearly a 30-year-old biome that is under glass, that contains a number of different species from across the tropical world that were brought together and have now formed really an ecosystem that is thriving and that we're using as a study system to advance scientific knowledge.
What have we learned over the last 30 years at Biosphere 2 in the tropical rainforest? What has the past research told us, Laura, and what kind of new directions are we looking at?
So in the past, we've learned a lot about how ecosystems, and in particular this rainforest ecosystem, respond to different environmental drivers. And that's really a unique aspect that we have in this system, is that we can control the weather, we can control the climate, we can even control the composition of the atmosphere. And so that allows us to ask questions like, how do rainforests and plants respond to drought? You know, how does their photosynthesis change? So we've looked at that. We've looked at then how the soils react, and really seen that after a drought, when you re-wet, there's this really big pulse of microbial activity, and they release a lot of gases to the atmosphere. And so that those are the types of things that we've been able to study in a reproducible, controlled fashion that's just not possible in the external world.
This kind of research really is only, it's very unique to Biosphere 2, because you really have created a tropical rainforest. And the tropical rainforests, as many of our listeners know, are really under assault with climate change, the deforestation that's been happening in the Amazon basin. These areas and what's going on with our tropical rainforests, the situation is urgent to find solutions to this, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and one thing that's really interesting is that I guess putting a greenhouse-like enclosure in Biosphere 2 or in Arizona has resulted in us developing what's the hottest rainforest in the world. And so we're kind of looking at a system that is a potential analogy for rainforests in some locales in the future. And so we're able to kind of see how the plants themselves and the assembly of plants and microbes have adapted to this this new environment, and then ask how under this new warmer condition they do respond to stressors such as drought. So it's a really interesting system that's relevant to what we're looking at in the world's rainforest.
We're speaking with Dr. Laura Meredith. She is the director of the Biosphere 2 Rainforest. Can folks visiting Biosphere 2 take a look at this tropical rainforest, Laura?
Yeah, it's part of the normal tour, and every once in a while we have these special specialty tours where we really dive deeper into the rainforest, and you speak with the scientists who are going to tell you about some of the research that's going on. And I think this is really an exciting time in the rainforest. I know you've spoken recently to my colleague Diane Thompson about the work in the ocean, and in the rainforest we're really ramping up with a new campaign and bringing in a lot of different colleagues from University of Arizona, as well as other domestic colleagues and international experts who are going to descend on the rainforest. And we're going to really characterize under a drought condition how this rainforest is changing the way it cycles carbon, how plants and microbes interact, and then really what the outcome is in this unique facility. So we're really excited about that.
I've been fortunate in my travels over the last 45 years to visit tropical rainforests, not only tropical rainforests in the tropical zone, but tropical rainforests, true rainforests up in British Columbia and in the Northwest. And the forest always has a particular smell. I call it kind of fragrance of the forest. Are you able to kind of recreate some of that, Laura?
Yeah, and that is actually a really interesting science question that we are attacking right now here. So Plants, you know, they photosynthesize, they fix carbon dioxide, but they, in the process of their metabolism, also re-release a lot of compounds into the air. These volatile compounds are often detectable by the human nose, and so they are the fragrances of the forest. And these are really important for trees. They release them and plants release them to help mitigate stressors in the environment like heat and oxidative radicals. And so they're releasing these compounds, and that microbes are doing the same thing. They release it as part of their metabolism. And what we're learning is that it's a really important part of interactions between plants and microbes and signaling, and it's an important part of the carbon cycle that we really feel like we have an opportunity to study in the B2 rainforest, which certainly does have a nice forest fragrance.
The whole deep and dark mysteries of the soil of the rainforest, that's an area that is very difficult in many ways to study, isn't it, Laura Meredith? Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about how do you attack that issue about the soil and finding out the very critical functions in our ecosystems that are harbored in our soils of the rainforest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, soils are just beautiful and complex systems that really, you know, facilitate and foster so much of life as we know it and our food, and they're really important in facilitating the forest. But they're incredibly difficult to study because it's kind of this black box, opaque system beneath our feet that many times we don't, you know, think a lot about. But there are over a billion microbial cells per gram of soil.
Whoa, give us that again. One billion with a B. Yeah.
Yeah, per gram of soil, which is far less than a, you know, like a teaspoon. So it's just teeming with life. In a really kind of complex assemblage of structure of aggregates and minerals and organic matter and air-filled spaces and water-filled spaces. And so we know there are a lot of really important processes occurring there, but it can be really difficult to study such a material. And so we're now, you know, bringing in some new cutting-edge techniques that look at really the complex composition of that organic matter and then studying the microorganisms using their genomes. And so we can now go into these systems and sequence the DNA or the RNA and look at genes and gene expression and try to dissect from, like, big data, essentially, what is going on in these soils and how what processes are providing all of the services that soils do in such an important way.
Where did you grow up? What was your background? How did you come to all of this?
I'm from Oregon, and I'm actually from a family of foresters, so I guess it's somewhat appropriate that I'm now in this position of the Biosphere 2 rainforest. But, you know, I grew up outside, spending a lot of time in nature and in the forest, and just was always very curious about the natural world and gravitated towards chemistry, which then I applied to atmospheric chemistry, which is my PhD training. But then I just learned about the really important role of microbes in influencing the composition of our atmosphere. And so I, you know, sort of got brought back down to earth and studying soil microbial ecology and pairing that with the atmosphere. And that's just something that I feel like we can do really uniquely here.
What a dream come true for the young girl who grew up in Oregon and went off exploring in the forests around home, and to now be working with teams of international scientists who want to come to Biosphere 2 and learn about our tropical rainforest. That's got to be, Laura Meredith, a dream come true.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. It is, yeah. It's been a journey I couldn't have expected, I suppose, but I'm incredibly happy to be here.
Well, I'm very happy that you are there, and I want to invite all of our listeners to go to Biosphere 2 and take the tour, the tropical rainforest and the oceans that we've talked about on this program, what's going on there. Such exciting research. Dr. Laura Meredith, thank you very much for sharing some time with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks a lot. Laura Meredith. She's the Tropical Rainforest Director at Biosphere 2. So much stuff going on out at Biosphere 2. Find out more at biosphere2.org. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Steve Rivera just walked in. Steve's going to be coming up next with his Eye on the Ball show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Bob Dio, my engineer producer, we thank you very much for spending your noon hour with us on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon.